Hey girl, welcome to the trophies. You are number one. I'm Melissa McLeod and I've been coaching women for over 16 years. I teach you how to make yourselves the priority, you know, number one in your life so you can show up as the best you can be for everyone else. In this podcast, I talk about relationships and communication, about goal setting and productivity. I'm a wife, a mom, California bred, currently living the expat life in South Asia. Sounds good? Well, let's go. Is anyone else dealing with crazy emotional eating this month? Many of us are practicing social distancing. Good for you. We're adapting to these newly homebound lifestyles, and it's easy to find ourselves wandering into the kitchen looking for something to eat to take our minds off the mayhem. Thank goodness I wasn't able to get Girl Scout cookies here in Sri Lanka because I can kill a sleeve of Thin Mints in about 90 seconds. And that type of binging would definitely be hard to resist with all the anxiety surrounding the coronavirus epidemic. Now, since I cut my teeth as a coach in health coaching, I know the emotional eating and drinking space well, and I'd love to share how I help my clients navigate these episodes. I think it's important to know that it's normal to want to stuff your face when you're anxious. And as humans, we like to avoid pain, and eating can be a diversion. It's also a coping mechanism, and it makes us feel good. Eating lights up our neural pathways that tell us, this is great. It's a survival mechanism. Keep doing this. This keeps us alive. And it's easy to get carried away in times of stress. You know, I find it fascinating that in times like these, we lean towards behaviors that exacerbate the situation. We're more likely to binge, and then we feel bad about it afterward. And we may use alcohol to cope or as a reward for surviving a day at home with our kids. And this is shown to increase anxiety. We don't sleep well, and this reduces our immunity. Our behaviors are actually making the situation worse for ourselves. So what can we do? Here's my top tips for stopping the stress eating. First off, girl, no one likes a bully. Don't beat yourself up if you find yourself wolfing down 3 granola bars and a sleeve of Oreos and more. So while your family watches a movie and thinks you're cleaning the kitchen, you're in there eating in the corner. Don't feel bad. You're human. It happens, and it happens to the best of us, myself included. You're stressed, you're overwhelmed, you're scared, you're hurting, you're acting on your feelings, and you can make a better choice. You know, even the mom that made the green juice smoothie for her family could have made a better choice because the avocado she used, it could have been organic. Okay, so don't beat yourself up. Everyone can always get better. You can get better, and you can choose to do better. Let's choose to do better. Next is you got to set up systems. Don't rely on self-control to get you through times like these. If there is ice cream in my fridge, I am going to eat it. Hell, if there are stale Doritos in my pantry, I'm going to eat them. If my kids have forgotten about their Halloween candy and then I ate it and then they remembered about it, I will lie about it and tell them they must have already eaten it. Okay, bottom line, if it's in the house, it's going in my mouth. Set up the systems that prevent you from having to control your urges. If I buy treats for my kids, like those granola bars that are dipped in chocolate, you know which ones, I have to portion them out in the kids' lunches for the week ahead or I will eat them. Don't think you need to rely on willpower. Willpower is overrated. Next is think long-term. We're likely to give into a craving because we're short-sighted. We want the treat and we'll stuff it in our faces because we want to feel good right now. Now, I train my clients to think long-term, big picture. You know, no matter the situation, it could be a craving or taking action on their goals or having a tough conversation instead of brushing something under the rug with the loved one. When you can pause and think big picture, you give yourself a moment to make a better choice. As you find yourself reaching for another glass of wine, you pause for a sec. You think big picture. What's your sleep gonna be like if you keep drinking? How are you going to feel in the morning? What is homeschool going to look like tomorrow if you're hungover? What example are you setting right now for your family? They're watching. That's what having long-term vision looks like. It reminds us to take a breath, take a beat, and rethink our behavior, and then choose a better choice. And lastly, focus on the real issue. Binge eating, guys, it's an escape. We want to take our mind off the chaos in the moment or not think of the unpleasantness around us. What will happen if you just sit in it? What's happening after all? A better response is deal with it. Deal with what's happening. When people hire me to help them navigate a tough decision, I love to walk them through worst case scenarios, you know, the ones that are keeping you up at night. So for the sake of the coronavirus, what will you do if you or a family member falls ill? What will happen to your kids? Where will you go to seek care? You play out those different situations and the choices that you're worrying about, and they help you see how you could respond. And also, you'll realize that you'll be better prepared if your greatest fears do play out. You know, my husband and I, we did this exercise pre-COVID-19 with situations around either or both of us dying. We wanted to explore, well, what would happen to our kids? And how much money would be needed if we lost our incomes? And who would we need to involve in these decisions should we become incapacitated or dead? So this grim exercise, it actually gave me peace of mind and a feeling of preparedness. We can do the same thing with the coronavirus. Why did I say that's the last thing? I've got great points ahead. Get mindful. Mindfulness, it's this buzzword, and thank goodness for that. You may think of yoga or meditation or journaling. I like to take a bubble bath. All of these exercises are great, and they'll help you calm your nerves in times of stress. But mindfulness to me, it's simply paying attention. Pay attention to your hunger. Pay attention to what you're eating. Pay attention to how much caffeine you've had today. Pay attention to how late it is, and you're reaching for a, no, you don't need that. Pay attention to where this food came from and the hands that prepared it and the sacrifices that were made to acquire it. You know, binge eating, it's the opposite of mindfulness. It's being mindless. We're not paying attention when we're watching a movie and we're eating popcorn on the couch without even looking at what is going into our mouths. Why not create a new standard for yourself? Will you only eat at a table, for example? I believe that if we all practice mindful eating from a young age, we wouldn't even have food disorders. Chew on that. And if all else fails, girl, eat the damn cookie. And like I said, first off, don't feel badly about it. One binge episode, it won't make or break you. Give yourself the opportunity to shamelessly sit down, relax, and enjoy the treat. If you smell and you taste your food and you chew it thoroughly, and you truly savor every bite, your binge isn't a binge. It's this controlled, indulgent experience, and you'll consume far less than you would have otherwise. And it's so much more fun to eat ice cream with your kids than it is to scarf it down in a dark kitchen when you think no one is watching. Now, if you need more support, join us over in the Trophies. This is my free life coaching group for women at thetrophies.co. And mamas, I also have a super mom survival guide, critical in times like these. Get it on my website, melissamcleod.co. That's melissamcleod.co. Someone else got the .com. Thanks, ladies. See you soon.